Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. For the last three decades, farms in South Dakota and around the United States have trended towards bigger operations focusing on growing one or two commodity crops. Proponents of regenerative agriculture aim to reverse that trend by adding more animal and crop diversity in order to make farming more sustainable both economically and environmentally. SDPB looks at the future of farming this month, and Jacqueline Severin kicks us off with this story.
Blue Dasher is a small farm located north of Brookings, South Dakota. It's just 53 acres, but it's full of life. Not only are there typical farm animals such as chickens, sheep, and pigs, but there are bees, fruit trees, native prairie, and seed crops such as borage, sweet clover, and Canada wild rye. Along with the bees buzzing around are a myriad of insects and birds. This diversity, says Dr. Jonathan Lundgren, is a key part of regenerative agriculture.
Regenerative agriculture is kind of takes what sustainable agriculture used to do and kind of amps it up to the next level, where we kind of started to look around the scientists and the farmers and the ranchers and the beekeepers and realize that sustaining, well, we've degraded our natural resource base in agriculture to the point where just sustaining that just isn't going to get us where we have to go. So we actually have to be rebuilding our natural resource base while generating a profitable farm.
Lundgren is an entomologist and agroecologist. He is also the director of Blue Dasher Farm and the Ecdysis Foundation, which does scientific research on regenerative farming practices. Not long ago, Lundgren had a very successful career working for the USDA. He even received an award from the Obama administration for his agricultural research. But that all changed when he was challenged by some farmers who were practicing regenerative agriculture and beekeepers who said pesticides were killing their bees. At first, Lundgren didn't believe them, but like any good scientist, he decided to conduct his own research, and what he found supported their claims.
And as a scientist, I'm inherently a skeptical person, and so I wanted to test those ideas. And also as a scientist, if I see data that suggests that I was wrong all along, then I have to be flexible enough that I change. And that's what happened with me.
Lundgren decided to start his own working farm where he could test and demonstrate regenerative agricultural practices. Lundgren says there are four key principles in regenerative farming. 1, stop tilling the soil. 2, never leave soil bare. 3, introduce plant diversity. And 4, incorporate animals into cropping. Lundgren says regenerative farms use less pesticides and herbicides because they work with nature, promoting plant diversity and attracting beneficial insects, which helps control pests and weeds.
On Blue Dasher, half of our farm is actually native unbroken prairie and wetlands. And those are tools, right? I don't look at those as an expense. I can put my animals out there if I graze them correctly. I can take revenue off of that. I can produce honey off of that. But then I can also, I get the benefits of having that diversity because the predators that live in there, like the lady beetles and the parasitoid wasps and things like that, they come off of those fields and then they kill my crop pests. So I just don't, a lot of the regenerative operations just don't have to think about pests anymore because they just have so much diversity in that system.
Lundgren says besides restoring biodiversity, one of the main goals of regenerative agriculture is building soil health, all while producing food that is nutritious. But he doesn't stop there. Lundgren says profitability is one of the most important ingredients for regenerative farming to work. This summer, Lundgren held a field day at Blue Dasher Farm. One of the speakers at the event was Steve Tucker, who farms 4,000 acres in Venango, Nebraska, which is close to the Nebraska-Colorado border. Tucker says regenerative farming has helped his operation become more successful.
In the past, I was lucky to make $30,000 to $50,000 a year, just gross, all right? Today, it's a six-figure income, and the first one's not a one, just in a matter of 2 or 3 years, just because I've got different crops doing different things.
Tucker started farming with his grandfather in 1992. He says back then they grew wheat. And that was it. Today, he now has over 11 different crops and 5 different species of animals. His latest addition is mung beans, which he is growing for a snack company based out of Boulder, Colorado. Tucker says all these different crops and animals give him multiple streams of income and build resiliency into his farm system.
If one thing fails, you've got other things to back it up. And always looking for more opportunities. That's where my mind is what else is out there that I can do?
Tucker says along with regenerative agricultural practices, farmers also need to adopt this entrepreneurial mindset. He says regenerative farmers have to get off the farm and market themselves, which he understands is a hard thing to do.
I was a homebody, didn't like that, but once I started getting out and meeting people and seeing that people, in the course of conversations, they're looking for something, you know, for a particular kind of seed or some kind of something to develop a product with. And then my question is how can I grow that so that we can have a win-win relationship so that I can become profitable growing something that's very unique for this particular customer and give them what they want. You want to be rich, you want to be a want or need or finder. Find somebody with a want or a need and find a way to fill that.
Tucker says not everything he has tried has worked out. For instance, he tried growing faba beans once and they failed, but he was able to experiment without worrying about losing the farm. Tucker says another reason why his farm is profitable is he uses less inputs like pesticides and fertilizers. He says his herbicide use has gone down 70% and he hopes to eliminate all chemical inputs completely. But Tucker says it's important to understand that there will be a transition when converting to regenerative farming. One farmer that is going through that transition in South Dakota is Seth Evenson. He farms 320 acres of land that his family homesteaded generations before him near Toronto, South Dakota. Evenson says his family used to mainly grow corn and soybeans, but that it was harder to generate income on those two crops alone on a small farming operation.
It keeps costing more to grow anything. You know, the inputs is getting higher. You guys got to add more chemicals. The more chemicals we use, Mother Nature throws it back in our face tenfold, you know, and laughs at us. So it's like, well, something's got to change. If we quit fighting everything and quit, you know, you'll go broke trying to fight everything.
On top of that, Evenson says his neighbors have ripped out their tree belts and the extra water flowing from the neighbors' farms started causing erosion on Evenson's land. So he switched to no-till farming, then planted cover crops every year. He started polycropping, which means he plants more than one crop in a field at the same time. He also brought animals back on the farm. They now have goats, sheep, cattle, and pigs. He says the transition isn't necessarily easy, especially because there is little flexibility in our current agricultural system.
You know, like in the fall, you know, you go to the banker and we're like, well, we're going to plant corn and oats. But then when the, you know, next spring comes around, we want to have the flexibility to say, okay, let's scratch all that because it's just not working.
Evenson says a lot of people think he is foolish and are waiting for the farm to fail. But he says it has all been worth it. For one thing, farming has become more fun. He likes seeing all the different crops developing at different times of the year. Right now, for him, it's one giant experiment, but hopefully not without reward.
If it's successful, we'll have, well, a couple of the fields, they'll smoke any other corn and beans. It'll be very profitable, if it works.
It's small farms like Evenson's that Dr. Jonathan Lundgren says may be one of the most beneficial aspects of regenerative agriculture. Because if small operations can be profitable, that means younger generations can start coming back to their family farms, which means this type of farming not only helps regenerate soil, but can help regenerate small communities as well. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jacqueline Severin in Sioux Falls.